Amen. Now, the title of today's message is Our Suffering Servant. Now, I want you to take a minute and just imagine a small village nestled between a mountain. Now, this middle age village, they're plagued by a deadly disease. It doesn't matter if you're thinking the Spanish flu. It doesn't matter if you're thinking the Black Plague. It doesn't matter if you think it's syphilis. It doesn't matter. What matters is the whole entire village is plagued with a disease. So the villagers, they're stricken sick, and they're full of fear, and they're full of anxiety. Who wouldn't be? They realize that a terrible sacrifice must be made to appease their angry gods because they were paganistic worshipers. So they were trying to find who they would sacrifice to appease and bring peace in that village. So they decided to draw lots, and a lot of people don't know what lots is. Imagine a box with a whole bunch of sticks, and there's one just shorter than the rest. So they decide that they're going to draw lots of the village, and everyone from 12 years old to 99 is going to pull one of these sticks out of the box, and whoever got the short stick would be the sacrifice. So as the villagers line up along the streets, one by one, they grab a stick and they raise it up. The next one grabs a stick and raises up, and it goes to about halfway down the village, and one unfortunate person is then chosen. But this person was an innocent person, an innocent man. He dedicated his life to making sure the elderly are fed and taken care of, and that the orphans are looked after. And because they were nestled in the mountains, it was really cold, so he always went hunting to find fur, to make jackets, to make sure that everyone in the village stayed warm and never wanted nothing from them. And yet this innocent man was chosen. But even though he was innocent, they wanted to appease their gods, and they dragged them down the streets, and they bring them to the town's sacrificial altar, and they sacrifice them to their gods. And as the man, the innocent man, was yelling and screaming in agony and pain, everyone that he helped simply turned around and walked away back to their homes. But you know, this story I just shared with you mirrors the prophecy of Isaiah 53 about Jesus. It describes a suffering servant who would bear the sins of many. In this ancient prophecy, we see a similar theme of an innocent person, an innocent sacrifice to atone for the sins of others, just like the story I shared with you today. So let's share the scripture, and then I will teach you guys what the Lord placed on my heart to share. For it is written, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we would look at him, nor an appearance that we would take pleasure in him. He was despised and abandoned by men, a man of great pain and familiar with sickness. And like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we had no regard for him. However, it was our sickness that he himself bore, and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assume that he had been afflicted, struck down by God and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the wrongdoing of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living for the wrongdoing of my people, to whom the blow was due. And his grave was assigned with wicked men. Yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord desired to crush him, causing him grief. If he renders himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, for he will bear their wrongdoings. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was counted with wrongdoers. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the wrongdoers. Now, what a wonderful and profound piece of scripture about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, through the prophet Isaiah. Most people would preach on this prophecy and they would focus on the theology behind of it. Some people would preach this piece of scripture and focus on the historical perspective, trying to correlate the dates and the times with the prophecy and Jesus. And they wouldn't be wrong. But what I'm focusing on today is the Christology behind this. What do we have to learn from this biblical account? And what can we see in it so that way we can grow and become who God is calling us to be? So my goal today is to share the gospel truth prophesied to us by Isaiah 53 and to help everyone today not only understand these words, but how to apply it into your lives so that way you can be who God is calling you to be. So the first thing we learn is the suffering servant was despised and rejected. For those of you who don't remember the scripture, I'm going to say it again. It says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He has no stately form or majesty," as in he's a common person, "and we will look at him, nor an appearance that would take pleasure in him," as in he was not even going to be good looking. He looked like a common person. "He was despised and abandoned by men, a man of great pain and familiar with sickness, and like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we had no regard for him." You see, I want you to think about the damaged appearance of our Messiah in this prophecy. You see, the servant's physical appearance was damaged and disfigured. And if any of you have ever read the Gospels and understood what Jesus had to go through before he came to the cross at Calvary, you would understand that Jesus was scourged. Being scourged was like, imagine a big whip with a whole bunch of little whips attached to it. And at the end of those whips were little metal claws and pieces of like bone that are sharp. And every single time that Jesus was struck, where God's suffering servant was struck, and they ripped up the scourge, pieces of flesh, pieces of muscle, and pieces of fat were ripped off his body. Jesus was beat. He was humiliated. People were making fun of him. They were mocking him. He was struck in the head multiple times. He even had a crown of thorns shoved on his head. But a lot of people don't understand that these are not the thorns that are in rose bushes that we see today. The thorns in Jerusalem in that period of time, in that area, these thorns were half inch long and thick. So imagine these Roman guards grabbing all of these thorns and wrapping them together to make a crown and shoving it in the skull of Jesus, half an inch deep. And he was barely recognizable because of the brutal torture that he had to endure before the cross. Now, I know this is a contrast to today's traditional image the church likes to put out there about our triumphant Messiah. Yes, we have victory in Christ Jesus. Yes, you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll be saved. Yes. But that's only one side of the coin. You see, if we don't understand the suffering that Jesus had to endure, if we don't understand the pain that he took in our behalf, then none of us will ever feel convicted to change our ways. You see, we need to understand the suffering that Christ endured, so that way the Holy Spirit can convict us and remove things from our lives that we need to remove. So instead of justifying why we are allowing negative circumstances to continue to be around us and negative people and being in negative relationships, we will be convicted and say, you know what? Jesus did not suffer for me to continue walking in this sin. So the best way for me to say this is, every time you look at a cross, every single time you look at a cross, whether it's on a Bible, a television, t-shirt, someone's wearing a cross or a rosary, picture yourself in the place of Jesus. Picture yourself scourged. Picture yourself beaten, humiliated, spit at, a crown of thorns, crucified. Because that's exactly what Jesus did for each and every one of us. You see, we have victory in Christ Jesus, but that victory came at a cost. Our suffering servant was rejected. He was rejected. He was misunderstood. He was despised. Can you think about the depth of the human rejection and the isolation that accompanied his suffering? Think about it. Just days before his crucifixion, Jesus is coming into town and the people are shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Lord, save us. Lord." They are praising Jesus. They are worshiping Jesus. They are taking off their cloaks and their tunics and laying it on the ground. They are taking palm branches and putting it on the floor, saying, "Lord, please save us." But it was those same voices that were shouting in front of Pontius Pilate, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." Can you imagine the isolation that he was feeling at that point? Have you ever been rejected or despised? Have you ever felt someone hates you for no good reason? That one day they love you and like being bipolar, the next day they hate your guts? Have you ever been hated so much for being a good person and doing the right things that people are plotting to murder you? I don't think none of us here have ever dealt with that. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. But there's something to learn from our Messiah's suffering and from his rejection. You see, we often expect God to intervene and prevent suffering in our lives and prevent hardships in our lives. But God paints a different picture in this scripture. God chose to enter into human suffering and experience it firsthand. So we have a loving God that wants to be able to experience and understand our human condition. And this should challenge us to understand that just because you're dealing with a hardship, just because you're dealing with a struggle, whether that's your health, you know, you lost a loved one, you lost your job, you're struggling with addiction, whatever it may be, is not for us to blame God to be in those circumstances and be angry at God. The truth is, it should challenge us to try to understand why we're in that season to begin with. Because every season allows us to have something to grow from. Sometimes we're in a season of woe because the consequences of our free will choices, whether we like to admit it or not. Sometimes we're in a season of woe because the Lord has something to teach us in that season so we can use it as a testimony to help somebody else out that is struggling in a similar manner down the line. And sometimes we're in a season of woe because God wants us to hold on to him and glean from his word and strengthen our faith so we can endure it. The point is, regardless if you're in your mountaintop hallelujah moment or you're in the darkest pit in the valley, you have to be able to praise the Lord regardless to our condition, because regardless to our condition, he is good. And God uses our suffering for so many reasons. I just named a few. So even while we're suffering, we should be able to endure because God's suffering servant endured for us. And if Christ went through all of that, the least we can do is feel a little bit uncomfortable, church. So as we continue to move forward in today's scripture, we're going to notice that Isaiah said that the suffering servant bore our afflictions. The scripture says, however, it was our sickness that he himself bore, it our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the wrongdoing of us all, not some people, the wrongdoing of humanity to fall upon him. He carried our sickness. And Isaiah is not simply speaking about physical illness, but also emotional and spiritual struggles that each and every one of us carry. You see, as a general Christian body, a lot of people like to try to keep a mask on their face. They like to pretend like everything's good. Hey, sister, how you doing? Amen, hallelujah. Hey, brother, how you doing? God is good. But every single one of us is struggling with something here, now, and today. Because the scripture says that every single person falls short of the glory of God. And the scripture also tells us that anyone who says that they are without sin is a liar and the truth is not in them, as in the word of God is not in them, the spirit of God is not in them, and that means the spirit of truth is not in them. So if every single person in this world is struggling with something in their life, Jesus healed their illness. He healed their emotional and their spiritual struggles as well. It doesn't mean that we don't continue struggling. What it means is if you give it to Christ, he'll take it. And then you repent and you turn away from that sin. You turn away from that temptation. You turn away from those issues and you face the Lord and you keep walking and you don't look back like Lot's wife. Because when you look back, that is death. When you look forward and you look towards a cross, that is our salvation. That is our redemption. Is it not written? And he himself brought our sins in his body up on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Sometimes we have to be reminded that our salvation is not free. Yes, our salvation is a free gift of God for those who believe in his son, that he lived, he died, he rose from the grave the third day, they will be saved. But there was a price to our salvation. Yes, we walk in victory in Jesus, but there was a price. And that price was the cross at Calvary. That price was his humiliation, his anxiety, his depression, everything that he had to deal with, all the emotions he had to deal with, and the struggle and the torture that led to that victory. So it wasn't free for Jesus. He came out and gave it to us openly. He gave himself and poured himself out for everybody, even though he was rejected and despised. Jesus was wounded for our transgression. Now, can you imagine helping somebody and getting hurt? You go to some random African village. They don't have electricity. They don't have medicine. They don't have food. They don't have nothing. And you go to this village and then you give them food. You give them medicine. You put a roof over their head. You give them fresh drinking water. You dig a well. And that night you're laying down and they tie you up and throw you in a fire. Because that's basically what Jesus did for each and every one of us. He gave us and poured everything that we will ever need. He poured out on that cross of Calvary through his blood. And many reject him still to this day. So how does Jesus' suffering impact us today as Christians in 2024? I've already said, once you picture yourself up on that cross, something should change in you. There should be something in you that you're at awe at Jesus' sacrifice and say, God, I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve the blessings and the giftings and the love that you poured out on me on that cross. I don't deserve it, but you gave it to me anyways. And something deep inside you should have conviction. Because if we don't have conviction for the cross and the suffering that was endured by God's suffering servant, our Messiah, Jesus Christ, then nothing in this world will ever change us from our ways. Nothing will truly give us hope, because we will continue to give God parts of us instead of laying everything down bare at the foot of the cross. And when we can learn this and understand that we deserve nothing, but God gave us all, then we should have the sympathy to be able to understand the suffering that he endured and the cost of our salvation, but also the fact that we need to be able to be uncomfortable for others. You see, there's people all over the world that sit in church pews. They say they're Christian. They say hallelujah. They accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Yet they're not willing to get uncomfortable for Jesus. And I find that contradictory to our Christian faith. I find it very difficult for people to say they worship a perfect God and they understand everything that Jesus did for them, but they feel no conviction to serve and help others. I find that very challenging to believe. We have to be able to comfort others. Remember God's word. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ in Galatians 6:2. But the thing is, you have to be able to get uncomfortable to talk to people. You got to be able to get uncomfortable to build these relationships so people understand if they're dealing with a hardship, they know without a shadow of a doubt that they can come to you. They can talk to you. They'll get counsel. They may get rebuked out of love, but that's what we're supposed to do as a church. But that we're going to hold them accountable for the sin and love them through that hardship. That is what we're called to do as a body of Christ, regardless to the church or congregation that you belong to. Each and every one of us has to be able to learn to bear one another's burdens. Because there's only two ways to deal with pain in our lives and suffering. Whether we're helping ourselves with a burden or helping someone else, there's only two ways to handle it. The first is to feel convicted and repent of whatever was done. Whether that's harboring unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, it doesn't matter. That's the first. And you cling to Jesus and you allow his strength to overpower any obstacle that you're dealing with, whether that's alcoholism, a drug addiction, whether that's abuse, whatever you're struggling with, you allow Jesus to work in your life and work in you and through you. The second option is to continue justifying why you're doing what you're doing and living the life that you're living. There's only two options. And in knowing this, it should push us to try to understand the suffering servant's silent sacrifice. Scripture says, by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living for the wrongdoing of my people, to whom the blow was due. And his grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was rich, was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. See, Jesus was a willing sacrifice for all of us. Despite the injustice that he faced, he was going out performing miracles. He was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. People that were born lame, they couldn't walk. He was raising them up, allowing them to walk. Miracle after miracle, he was teaching profound biblical truths to help people understand the word of God and actually understand it from a point to apply it in their lives instead of becoming religious. Yet, he had to deal with the injustice of people wanting him to die because it made them look bad. He had to deal with people who cared more about the image of the church and the image that everyone in the community had of them. To be on this pedestal, they'd rather have done that and fear men instead of fearing God. And because Jesus was doing all of these things, he was taking their thunder and people were coming to him. So he faced that injustice. But God's suffering servant, he willingly handed himself over as a sacrifice for our sins. Even though he was humiliated, even though he had to deal with his religious people, even though they were making a mockery of God's house, the temple, even though he was betrayed by a kiss by his friend, even though he still sacrificed himself for us willingly and silently. And this type of selfless love cannot be comprehended by people unless they're walking in the Spirit and they can fully understand what he went through for us, the suffering that he endured, the hardships that he faced. That's the only way that we can ever truly understand his love for us up on that cross. And by silently laying down his life, we learn many things. The first should be a question of self-reflection. How can we better appreciate his suffering? What's in your life that you can remove so that way you can be a little bit closer to Jesus? What temptations are you still allowing around you that is keeping you from giving God your very best? What are you hiding from that you don't want other people to know to be able to release it from your hearts and move forward in your Christian walk towards spiritual maturity? These are questions that each and every one of us should be asking ourselves as believers, because tomorrow's not promised, so we can't expect to change the things we need to change now, here, and today for tomorrow and leave it for another day. Because this scripture is not about an intellectual understanding, because it invites us to personally engage with the cross, to understand what was foreshadowed and then what happened, to understand that Jesus was willing to do all of this for us, even though we were his enemies, even though we were in sin, even though we blaspheme his name, even though we hurt other people, he still was willing to sacrifice himself and make a way back to God the Father through him as our intercessor. He reached out his hand to anyone who would accept him as Lord and Savior. And then he reached out his other hand and grabbed God the Father. And that's what Jesus did. And it's not until we understand that, that we will ever feel convicted to change. Because every single one of us has something we're struggling with. And every single one of us that's struggling with that thing, whatever it is, that we're holding on to with everything in our might, that conviction that we need to change it won't happen till we understand the cross. Because his sacrifice should transform not only our hearts, but our minds. And understanding the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, something should change in you. Who you were before you knew the gospel has to be something different than what you are today. And tomorrow you got to be a little bit better than what you were today. And that's the progression that we're supposed to have in this walk that we have, this journey through the devil's playground that we call earth. And this leads us to the fourth lesson, and it's on the suffering servant, his vindication, and the glory. The scripture tells us, but the Lord desired to crush him, causing him grief. If he renders himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, as in the suffering that he must endure, he will see it and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, for he will bear their wrongdoings. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was counted with wrongdoers. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the wrongdoers. That's Jesus' gospel. Amen. The servant would be vindicated and exalted, and this speaks of the ultimate triumph and God's judgment of the vindication or the redemption of us sinners through his righteous one. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful truth that we live in today. But we need to remember, it is written and it has always remained written. In him, we have redemption through his blood. We need to remember that there was a cost at the cross at Calvary. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. You see, grace is one side of the coin, and the other side is the sacrifice that led to the grace that we live in today. You can't walk in the truth, but only be one-sided in your understanding of the gospel. You can't ground yourself in the word of God without having the conviction you need to be a better person. It does not happen. So Christ ascended to heaven, sitting in the right hand of God, which is the Bema seat in Greek, because you like the Greek, the Bema seat. And he's there interceding for each and every one of us until we see him again face to face. So as you can imagine, Jesus' obedience, even unto death, has given us all fruit, because fruit bore in his suffering. The servant would see the fruit of his suffering, and this gives us hope that our suffering, that if we endure our hardships in faith, that it is not in vain. Remember, it is written, in the same way that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need to repent. But the reason why I'm bringing this scripture up is because when we endure in our seasons of woe, when we endure our hardships, when Jesus gets us through the addiction, when he helps us get that roof over our head, when he helps us with that wayward child that we once were as well, when he helps us in those seasons, it gives us a testimony to share with somebody else. And that testimony gives them hope. Jesus saved my life. Jesus transformed my life. He helped me in my addiction. He helped me in my struggle. He healed my marriage. He healed my parenting. He transformed and redeemed my soul, but he also transformed and redeemed my relationships. And when you share the testimony and you go out and you share the gospel and you tell people how good God is, and they learn the hope that is in you, that confident hope, it gives them hope. It plants a seed of the gospel. But we got to share that seed. So as you can see, our final lesson from the Lord today is a test from Christ. And that test is, are you going to bear fruit or not? There's too many people sitting in the pews today, like I already said, that are broken. And they're silent. They're dealing with things that they need to deal with, but they're too scared to bring it up to the church for help. There's too many people out there that are struggling with addictions and hard, bad habits, but they're too scared to face it today. So can you trust in God's ultimate plan? Can you humble yourself and truly give Jesus all your suffering, all your troubles, all your hardships, all your anxiety, all of your depression, all of your fear? Can you truly lay it down completely at the foot of the cross? Because just like God's suffering servant, our Messiah, Jesus Christ, you can trust in God, but you can trust in him and his word. Because we must never forget that God's plan for us, he is sovereign. He knows everything from the moment we were born to the moment we'll die. Each and every one of us could have been born at a different time and in a different date. We could have been born in 1516. We could have been born in 1795. We could have been born in 1980. But God has us here today, right now, for a gospel purpose and a gospel mission. And that is to come together as a body of Christ, to proclaim his blood on the cross, to understand the suffering that led to our salvation, to understand the strength that we have when we're broken, to understand that we're all broken even still today and in need of Jesus. That is what we're here for. And let's remember the last words. And the last piece of scripture for today, and that is that we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8, 28. As we see from the suffering servant, the suffering servant, our Messiah, loved God. And ultimately, it bore fruit. And that fruit was our salvation. But we need to understand this scripture clearly. A lot of people, they speak the first part of the scripture. And they say that we know God works all things together for our good. But most people omit the second half. For those who love God, for those who are repentant believers, for those who are walking in his righteousness, for those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, for those who are enjoying the fruits of the Spirit, for those people, those born-again believers, who are called according to his purpose, for those people who love God and they're doing exactly what God is calling them to do, being his ambassadors. And sometimes we forget when we hear ambassador in the Gospels and in Scriptures, what exactly that means. You see, if I'm an ambassador of America in Japan, that means everything I say and everything I do represents America, whether positive or negative. And each and every one of us are called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, which means while we still have air in our lungs, while we still have a wit to us, there's things that we have to sacrifice in our life. There's things that we have to change. We have to glean on the word of God and live this life, not just talk about Jesus, but live like Jesus. So that way, when everyone sees us, they don't see us, they see Christ. Every time we do something good, it is not us doing good. It is Christ's righteousness that is in us, working in and through us to serve the community. This is what it means for those who are called to his purpose, is understanding your God-given purpose and fulfilling it for Christ. Because at the end of the day, let us remember not only what God did for each and every one of us through the cross personally, but we need to hold ourselves accountable as a body and understand that there was a cost to our salvation. This word accountability has become a bad word in churches today. No one wants to be held accountable. And if someone rebukes you out of love to help you be a better version of yourself for Jesus, instead of receiving it, understanding that it's out of love, you get up and you go to another church. Instead of understanding that a rebuke is something of love, that someone cares for you so deeply, they have such an agape, such a godly love towards you, that they can't see you stuck in that sin. They can't see you stuck where you're at. They know that there's a better purpose for you and they're addressing you. That type of love. But people shed from it. They run from it. But when you understand that we're all sinners, and each and every one of us is running our race at our own pace, it should help you understand a little bit more what the suffering servant had to endure and what he had to do for the Lord. So it doesn't matter if you're suffering here today. It doesn't matter if you are dealing with an illness, if you have a loss. Give that to Jesus. If there's something in your life today that you're struggling with, don't sit still and wait till tomorrow. Don't sit still and wait till later, because what's going to end up happening is you're going to forget about it and you're not going to repent. You're not going to lean on the Lord, because that's not going to be your priority. I pray that today we make the day to choose to make Jesus Christ a priority, to make it a priority in our lives, to live the life that we say and we profess, to be his ambassadors out in the community, sharing the gospel, sharing our testimonies, allowing people to understand how good and great our God is. So that way we can spark the seed of hope in their heart. And that way, when they come to accept the Lord, the heavens rejoice and we had our part to play. Because a church on mission is the body of Christ. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with another wonderful day. Father, I just want to pray a special hedge of protection over everybody here today. Lord, if there's anybody in here that are dealing with any emotional warfare, any physical warfare, any spiritual warfare, Father, I pray that after service today that they stay behind so we can pray with them, Father. I pray that as we come together as a body of Christ to worship you, Father, that you allow the Holy Spirit to place in our hearts and our minds what we needed from this scripture so we can improve our faith walk with you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice of the cross. We thank you for the blood that you shed. And we thank you for allowing us to understand this so we can understand the strength that comes in walking in your victory. We thank you, Father. And we pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.